Bride to the King by Barbara Cartland and read by Sarah Lambie for Saga Egmont. Author's note. During the Franco-German War in 1870, negotiations were pushed ahead for the unity of all Germany outside Austria. A conference of Prussia, Bavaria, and Württemberg met at Munich to discuss the terms of unification. There was the question of a name of the new state, and Bismarck wished to revive the title of emperor. In January 1871, Wilhelm I was proclaimed emperor in the Galerie des Glaces at Versailles. The new Reich consisted of 4 kingdoms, 5 grand duchies, 13 duchies and principalities, and 3 free cities. The rest of Europe was appalled and frightened. Chapter 1. 1875. Zosina, wake up! The girl addressed started and raised her eyes from the book she had been reading. Did you speak to me? She asked. For the 3rd time, her sister Helsa replied. I'm sorry, I was reading. That's nothing new, Helsa exclaimed. Fräulein says that you will ruin your eyes and be blind before you are middle-aged. Zosina laughed a soft musical laugh with an undoubted note of amusement in it. Although it is Fräulein's job to teach us, she said, she always finds marvellous excuses for us not to learn anything. Of course she does, Theonie remarked, who was painting one of the fashion magazines with watercolours. Fräulein knows so little herself, she is afraid that if we show any intelligence we will realise how little she can tell us. I feel that is rather unkind, Zosina said. Kind or not, Helsa replied. If you don't hurry downstairs, since Papa wants you, you will be in trouble. Papa wants me? Zosina inquired in surprise. Why did you not tell me so? That is just what I have been trying to do, Helsa replied. Margit came in just now to say Papa wanted you in his study. You know what that means. Zosina gave a little sigh. I suppose I must have forgotten something he told me to do, but I cannot think what it is. You will learn quickly enough, Theonie remarked. I am thankful it's not me he has sent for. Zosina rose from the window seat on which she had been sitting and walked across the schoolroom to look in the mirror over the mantelshelf. She tidied her hair, quite unaware that her reflection portrayed a lovely face with large grey eyes which, at the moment, were rather worried. She was, in fact, concentrating fiercely on trying to remember something she had done wrong or something she had omitted to do. Whatever it was, she was quite certain her father would make it an opportunity for being extremely disagreeable, a thing at which he excelled these days, when he was suffering from gout. Without saying more to her sisters, Zosina crossed the room to leave the schoolroom, and as she did so, Catalin, who had not spoken till now, and was only 12, looked up to say, "Good luck, Zosina. I wish I could come with you." "That would only make Papa angrier than he is already," Zosina smiled. Leaving the schoolroom, she hurried down the long passages that were extremely cold in the winter until she reached the front staircase of the palace. The Archduke Ferdinand of Lützelstein lived in considerable style, which impressed the more distinguished of his subjects, but was criticised by those who suspected that they had to pay for it. But he did not give his family much comfort or consideration, and they knew it was because they had committed the unforgivable sin of being his daughters instead of his sons. There was no doubt that the Archduke was bitterly disappointed and frustrated by the fact that he had no direct heir. "You are his favourite," Catalin would often say irrepressibly to Zosina, "because you were his first disappointment. Helsa was number 2 and Theonie number 3. By the time he reached me, he disliked me so much I am only surprised he did not cut me up into small pieces and scatter me from the battlements." Catalin had a dramatic imagination, and perhaps because she lacked the affection of her father and her mother, was always thinking herself wildly in love with one of the younger officials in the palace, or, more understandably, the officers of the guard. Zosina was in many ways very different from her sisters. They had a practical and sensible outlook on life which made them accept family difficulties and the small but tiresome privations to which they were subject as an inevitable quirk of fate. "If I had the choice, I would rather have been born the daughter of a forester," Theonie said once, "than a royal princess without any of the glamour or excitement that should go with it."